Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره وقال تعالى فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected and honorable elders, brothers in Islam, one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa inna rabbaka ladhu fadlin 'alan nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is graceful upon man. When we look at this word fadl and we look at other verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompenses us, rewards us in every instance more than what we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every aspect, we find in the ayat of the Quran, غَافِرِ الذَّمْ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always willing to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always willing to accept our tawbah. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَغَنِيٌّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah is ghani, Allah is independent. In this world, sometimes for us to live with someone, we have to overlook their faults. We just forced to, because we want to live happily. So we sometimes dependent on forgiving. But Allah is such, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ. Allah is independent. He is not in need of anything, and nor is Allah in need of forgiving us. But at the same time, Dhur Rahma, full of mercy, and hence Allah forgives. Let us think about it, just one thought, that perhaps the smallest item that we wear, from head to toe, maybe our hat, our topi, or maybe one sock, or even our handkerchief, if we have to wash that handkerchief because it's dirty, or if we have to wash that sock or that topi, we will need a sizable amount of water. We cannot do it in a little saucer. That amount of water will not be sufficient for us to wash it and wipe it out, and wipe out the dirt. But just imagine Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We commit a sin. By committing that sin, dirt has now accumulated on our hearts. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just one tear, just a drop of a tear that we shed out of the fear of Allah, that tear washes out everything. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nay, it comes in the hadith, sufficient of a believer's one tear is to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I wish to discuss with you, and as a reminder to myself, and many of you may have heard all of this before, is just to remind ourselves of the fact that when we come for salah, how much of Allah's rahmah descends upon us, and how much Allah forgives, and how much Allah grants, something that we have taken for granted, and perhaps we have forgotten. Consider the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a believer performs his wudu and then he emerges for the masjid or for the place where the salah is being performed, I'd like to remind myself, apart from the fact, like on the day of Jumu'ah or during our Dhuhr and Asr and perhaps Maghrib Salat, where we have to leave our business places and come to the masjids, apart from that, there are many an occasion where we are leaving home, we're leaving our houses, and we are coming to the masjid. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us an encouragement that make your wudu at home. If we try to do this, the natural result of it would be, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after you've performed your wudu and you've emerged, for every step you take to the masjid, for every step you take for the salah with jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives a sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates you a rank. One narration, 10 sins, 10 ranks. Can we just imagine, just fathom this, that if we just change a little bit of our routine, when it is possible, with ease, try to perform that wudu at home, and then leave and emerge for the masjid. I'll stop that riwayat there, that narration. I want to add on 2 other narrations. When we begin our wudu, when we were in madrasa, for example, that maulana or that apa taught us a very simple dua. We all know it and we can all learn it if we don't. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, that person at the very beginning of the wudu, as he is going to wash his hands, he says, Bismillah, we all know Bismillah, Walhamdulillah, and Alhamdulillah. 2 phrases, we all know it. We just have to put the 2 together. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Bismillah walhamdulillah. I think we all would have known it, we've gripped it. If we do that, so long as that person remains in that wudu, in other words, that wudu does not break, what is the reward? Allah commands the malaika to write down that this servant of mine, for the duration of that entire wudu, is in my ibadat. Subhanallah. We've made that wudu, we take a shower, and we made this, we said Bismillah walhamdulillah in our minds. We've made wudu, we go to our workplaces. That wudu lasts for a duration of 1 hour or 2 hours. We are now regarded in the books of Allah as being in the ibadat of Allah. Being in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadat, in the services of Allah Rabbul Izzat, is a very, very great virtue. As a matter of fact, just to add on, Allama Khattabi rahmatullah alayh, a great, great muhaddith, has stated that if a person has the problem of the infiltration of shaitan, that we get the waswasa of shaitan, the whispering of shaitan that comes to us all the time. We are on our computer, and Allah forbid, and Allah save us all. And sometimes the temptation comes, we want to go to an unsavory website. One of the factors that will save us is to be in a constant state of wudu. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he saw Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked Bilal, "Oh Bilal, what is it that you carry out? What action do you do that I've heard your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah?" So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, whether it's day or night, whenever my wudu has broken, then I endeavor to make a fresh wudu. And after that, I read 2 or 4 or however many rakats Allah has put in my taqdeer." Now, just to answer one question very quickly, that Bilal being in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signifies a very important aspect, that in his life on this material earth, whenever Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would walk with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more often than not, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would take a few steps ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of a concern that perhaps there is somebody lying in ambush, there is somebody wanting to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would take those few steps ahead of him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that as an appreciation that there in Jannah also, Bilal will have that opportunity to walk ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back to the wudu. When we have completed the wudu, our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that person who reads, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Simple, what we would call the second kalima. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, in one narration. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And then he reads this dua. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin, wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. This dua is available in many of the dua kitabs. But temporarily, if you do not know it, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin. O Allah, make me from amongst those who often repent. Waj'alni min al-mutatahirin. And O Allah, make me from those who are absolutely pure. I'll come back to this just for an explanation. If we read this, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah till the end, and Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That person has entered Jannah. Whenever a hadith speaks about دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, there is a general rule, inshallah, that person will leave this world in a state of iman. Simple things Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Coming back to this dua very quickly, some important aspects with regards to our own lives. Allahumma ja'alni minat tawwabin. Brothers, we know that from time to time we commit sins. From time to time we break the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And hence, it becomes imperative for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah. Sometimes the thought of tawbah doesn't enter our mind. Sometimes the need of tawbah perhaps doesn't enter our mind. But by constantly making this dua, we are now reminding ourselves, and the benefit of it is, Allah will give us the tawfiq to continuously make tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And make me from those who are absolutely, those who are constantly pure. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, it includes the purity of the heart. Today, there is a lot of enmity amongst us. Amongst us as families, as brothers and sisters, as spouses, as sometimes we hearing, before we used to hear, sibling rivalry, something which our fathers would have never heard of. Today we hearing about parent-child rivalry, mother-daughter rivalry, where mothers are having issues with their daughters, daughters are having issues with their mothers, sons are having issues with their parents, and the whole host of rivalries that we are going through with. As an ummah, we have issues with one and all. Perhaps we need to look into our own hearts and see the condition of our own hearts. That where are the issues? Is the issue lying with someone else? Or perhaps my goggles have become dirty and dusty. And perhaps there's a lot of ash that is lying around the lenses. And I'm not seeing clearly anymore. But unfortunately, this is the condition of the ummah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. The cleanliness of the heart. I cannot help But just digress a little bit. Issues, differences are going to occur. They occurred in the time of the beloved Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just one incident in the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the whole question is, when there is a dispute, when there is an issue, we have a difference, perhaps we said something that was hurtful, or someone said something to us that is hurtful, how do we manage it? Do we just drift apart? Do we just break off that relationship? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu perhaps have left an indelible action that we will never be able to erase from our minds. It comes in his biography that on one occasion there was a discussion between him and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was just the two of them. There was some disagreements. And when there was this disagreement, there were some words that were said to each other. The incident came to an end. The incident came to an end. Now what happens? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he immediately goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is on his way. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the other hand, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now in a desperation that we have this, we've created the dissension between us. He now hastily marches on and goes on to the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr is by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar is going to Abu Bakr's house with an intention. Let's reconcile. Let's put our differences behind us. Allah give us the tawfiq. Wallahi, Allah give us the tawfiq. Whether it's with our spouses, let it not drag on. When it drags on, more and more filth. It just corrodes the relationship more and more. And we get the infiltration of shaitan. Sayyidina Abu Bakr is by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has a particular thought in his mind. And then he spills it out to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I had this difference with Umar. And I wish to make amends. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving an ear to Abu Bakr. Sayyidina Umar didn't find Abu Bakr at his house. He now comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as he comes, he sees Abu Bakr is already there. So now he suspects that I've got a problem. Whilst he is looking on, Sayyidina Abu Bakr looks at Hazrat Umar, and he can see trauma on his face, a worried face. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, please do not tell Umar anything. I've forgiven him for the sake of Allah. Sayyidina Umar says, Ya Rasulullah, I have forgiven Abu Bakr for the sake of Allah. Everything is done. Everything is done. Brothers and friends, this dua, and this is something that we need to constantly remind ourselves of. Look in our hearts. Look at our relationships. How strong our relationships are. How much of love, you know, in the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states, "Al-mu'minu ma'laf, wala khayra fima la ya'laf wala yu'laf." A mu'min is an embodiment of love. A mu'min is an embodiment of love. Love is supposed to be moving in the body of a mu'min, like how blood flows. La khayra fima la ya'laf. And there is no good in a person who cannot love. Halal love. Not a love that is motivated by lust and anything haram. Wala yu'laf. When a person cannot love, there is no good in him, and there is no good in that person who is not loved. You know, they say, what goes around comes around. If we spread the love, others will love us. So this dua, Allahumma ja'alni minat tawwabin, wa ja'alni minal mutatahirin. Allah, make me from amongst the mutatahirin, from those who are always consistently pure, pure insofar as their heart is concerned, for feelings for others, the cleanliness of the heart, the good thought for others. I mean, it is surprising that we want everyone to think good about us, and we do not think good of anyone else. We want everyone to look at the good that we carry out, but we would look at the evil of others. That is very strange. Secondly, the purity of our iman and our yaqeen. وَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Make me from those who have purified themselves from every trace of kufr, every trace of shirk, of ascribing partners to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Third, the purity of the limbs. Not just the cleanliness outside, but purify the limbs from all types of sin. Purify the limbs from all different kinds of sins. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, just in one single word. And then lastly, purifying the senses, our eyes, our tongue, our ears, from every kind of evil, that our eyes see no evil, our tongues speak no evil. Difficult, but we have to try to get there. Our ears hear no evil, the eyes seeing no evil. Can there be a better example for us than that of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali? The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that whilst I've given you the beginning of the wudu, I've given you the end of the wudu, whilst we are performing wudu, as we are performing and washing our faces, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, with the drops of water, or the last drop of water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies the sins that were committed with the face. With the hands, as we wash, and with the water that leaves the hands, or the last drop of water that leaves the hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our hands from every kind of sin. Now sometimes, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives certain people certain boons and favors, that what is unseen to some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may expose to others. This is a reality in Islam, which the ulama call kashf. And we know, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was bestowed with this favor of Allah, that when a person was performing his wudu, and as the water would drip off his limbs, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was able to see the kind of sins that people were performing. The example that we learn from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, what does he do? He turns aside. He turns a blind eye to all of that. And then he makes dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, this is a great blessing of yours, but Allah, remove this blessing. I do not want to see the sins of my Muslim brothers." It comes in the hadith, "Wala tajassasu, wala tahassasu." Don't prowl into the lives of others, looking for their faults, looking for their sins. But let us go on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then says, we stopped the hadith, the first hadith, that when a person emerged, with every step, Allah ta'ala forgives, and Allah ta'ala brings that person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the person comes to the place of the salat. And as he waits for the salat, in the books of Allah, that person is regarded as one who is in salat. So it would be wise of us that when we come into the masjids, to the musalla, wherever, that we engage in some salat, or we engage in some tilawat of the Quran, or we engage in some dhikrullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now considers us as one who is performing salat. When the person completed the salat, and after having completed the salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says the person sits a while at the place where he or she has performed the salat. Then the malaika begin to make dua for that person. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu wa tub alayhi. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy upon him. And oh Allah, accept his repentance. And these are some of the words that has been narrated of the dua of the malaika. I just want to ask a simple question. When you and I know of a very pious personality that is coming into Durban, then some of us will rush to the airport, others will try to be at the program. After the program, we want to hold the person's hand. Very good. We want to ask him, Hazrat, dua ki darkhas, make dua. Don't forget my child and don't forget this. Hazrat, make dua for everyone. And we want to invite the person home. We want the barakah. That's a pious human being. We should be doing that. But here, free of charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala charges the malaika to make dua for us. Allah makes the malaika make dua for us, provided we sit at the place, ma'lam yuhdid, so long as we don't speak to anyone, so long as we remain in the state of wudu, and very important, so long as we do not give somebody else taklif. And often in South Africa, I say it this way, the taklif at that time is that we park our cars blocking somebody's driveway and we are in the masjid making salat, we are busy in our mi'raj in the seventh heaven, and now we're giving taklif to everyone, then everything else gets cancelled out. So brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of rahmah, one of mercy. Allah sends down His mercy. He is very graceful upon us for the little deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us abundant. We are all carrying out this process. Let us try and add on these du'as. Let us get conscious. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. May Allah ta'ala create love in our hearts for the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The hujjaj that have departed and are departing. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the hajj. May Allah make it a hajj mabroor. May Allah make us part of their du'as. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the whole ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.